Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Channel 7 investigative reporter Charlie Specht joining us live with word now. It is official. The formality has been is in effect that Richard Malone is no longer Bishop of Buffalo. Charlie, you've been working on this story for a couple of years now. Where are we this morning with this news?
Well, Susan, this is the first time in the 172-year history of the Diocese of Buffalo that a sitting bishop has been essentially forced out of his seat because of sex abuse scandals or really any type of scandals. It simply has never happened before in Buffalo, and it has rarely happened in the history of the Catholic Church in the United States. So the resignation of Bishop Malone is an historic moment in this diocese, but it's one that's really been sort of building for more than 22 months here, as this first exploded last March with Michael Whalen coming forward and speaking his truth about sexual abuse. And that really just opened a tidal wave of allegations, of cover-ups, and then of investigative reports, of investigations by law enforcement. And here we are today.
You know, we I've talked with you in the past about the pace that the Catholic Church moves, and I'm wondering what you're thinking this morning now that this has been officially announced. We're talking about, you know, maybe a couple of years here, a two-year period where these stories started to come out, where your reporting has kind of put the pressure on the bishop. We always talk about the pace that the Catholic Church moves. It's a slow pace, but did this maybe come faster than you expected it to happen?
Definitely not faster than I expected. Probably a little slower than I expected. But we have to remember here that the Catholic Church is essentially the largest organization in the world. It's a global organization that has really not hundreds, but thousands of bishops across the world. So it does take, some serious problems or malfeasance to get Pope Francis's attention. However, once Pope Francis did essentially put this on his agenda, he moved very quickly, strikingly quickly. We have to think here that the apostolic investigation, that the Vatican investigation essentially, that Pope Francis authorized, started less than 2 months ago. They came in here with the Brooklyn bishop. He did an investigation, a report. We figured it might take months for this to wind its way through the bureaucracy in Rome. Instead, it was fast-tracked, and then, you know, less than 2 months later here, we have a new bishop temporarily, and the old bishop has resigned. So in Vatican speed, this is actually quite quick.
Charlie, you mentioned Michael Whalen a few minutes ago. I'm also thinking about whistleblower Siobhan O'Connor. It makes me wonder what events occurred, what maybe were some of the major events in the last couple of years that brought us to today, in your opinion?
So when I started my reporting on this, I really did not believe that Bishop Malone had any culpability in this abuse scandal because he's relatively new here. He's only been bishop since 2012. But the documents that Siobhan revealed from inside those secret archives showed that he did, in fact, have culpability. The big events were her documents that she provided that showed that Bishop Malone allowed two priests to remain in ministry despite allegations of sexual misconduct, inappropriate relations with children and with adults. That really caused a firestorm last year. But then there was kind of a second wave of scandals here that really kind of was the death blow. And that was Richard Birnat, the bishop's other secretary, recording him. And, you know, these were Nixon-like recordings here, and that the bishop was sort of scheming behind the scenes about how we can keep this hidden. And, oh, my God, this could be the end of me if this gets out. And I think for a lot of Catholics, it was that moment when you hear the bishop in his own words with so much concern for himself and his future and not a lot of concern for the church as a whole. So I think that is kind of what did it, and that's what we're being told from Rome really caught the attention of people over there.
And we're kind of still getting that after his resignation, aren't we? He's, you know, not going down quietly, so to speak. I'm thinking of the two statements, the one from Malone and one from the Apostolic Nomenclature of the U.S. Malone saying that the apostolic visitation or that papal investigation did not push him to ask for an early retirement. However, according to the Apostolic Nomenclature, they said that Malone was made aware of the visitation's findings and then requested his early retirement right after. So Malone is still kind of fighting this perception, right?
Absolutely. Right until the end, he put out a three-page statement, and already the revisionist history here has sort of started. He essentially defends himself and says, "I haven't really done anything wrong." He gives a fact here where he talks about, he says, no priest ordained in the last 30 years has been convicted of sexual abuse. Of course, what it doesn't say is that 20 active priests in the Diocese of Buffalo, who are priests on the altar until last year and this year, have been suspended for allegations of sexual abuse. So it very much is a current scandal here. And we also have to remember when we had sort of this false start here, there was a report that the bishop was going to resign a few weeks ago. Bishop denied that and said that was absolutely false. So now that statement, which is essentially Bishop Malone's, one of his final statements, could turn out to be a lie here.
Charlie, he's a bishop emeritus now. And is it our understanding that all benefits will be paid by the Buffalo Diocese?
No question. He actually will remain here. Practically speaking, you know, he obviously resigns in a decent amount of disgrace here and will probably forever go down as the abuse bishop in Buffalo. Certainly none of his predecessors ever had to give up their seat. But practically speaking, he has all rights if he wants to stay within the diocese. The example I give is Bishop Edward Kimmick, who was Malone's predecessor. He still lives in the rectory of St. Joseph's Cathedral. Bishops who are emeritus in retirement, you know, they kind of keep a low profile, but they essentially live a pretty nice life, subsidized by the church. And they are allowed to, you know, attend public events, you know, give speeches. You know, he could live here part of the time. He could spend a decent amount of his time at the Ocean House he has in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, which is where often we found him when these things were breaking. You have to imagine, though, that, you know, he wouldn't be too, you know, keen on staying here, given the public sentiment that's sort of been stacked against him here.
Yeah, I wouldn't really expect to see him in the pews anytime soon. Does it surprise you that he's not here today, not here to make an in-person farewell message?
It surprises me a little bit, in that kind of is his style, to put things, you know, sort of in his point of view, to have the final word. But again, oftentimes when things were, you know, breaking here in the diocese, we did find out, you know, through our sources that he was many times at Cape Cod. From a strategic point of view, you know, I can understand why the diocese and the Vatican even really would not want him out there as you know, sort of a lightning rod anymore. You know, if they're going to give the message of moving on, there's a press conference today at 10:30. You don't want to have the old bishop there. You want to have the new face there and talk about moving forward and not talk about the sins of the past. So I do understand it from a strategic point of view.
It's 7:01 on WBEN Buffalo. We're live with Charlie Specht as the Vatican, Pope Francis, has accepted the resignation of Richard Malone as Bishop of Buffalo. Wondering too, Charlie, if you know what is in the future for Bishop Gross.
Yeah, there's been a lot of questions about Bishop Gross. A lot of people have reached out to me and said, you know, he in some ways is more involved in this whole scandal. He's been here for 40 years, and our reporting shows that he handled much of this sex abuse and priest discipline. His name is all over these documents that came out. Bishop Gross was already scheduled to retire in February, and it looks as though he's going to just be able to sort of sail off into retirement. The Malone recordings that we got, where Bishop Malone is caught on tape, Bishop Gross actually is on there saying, "I can't, you know, I'm counting down the weeks to my retirement." So it's clearly that he really was looking to sort of duck out here. Again, he will get full retirement benefits and be able to live where he chooses as a retired bishop here. But, keep in mind, there are criminal investigations going, and our sources have said that some of those investigations have focused on Bishop Gross's involvement in this whole scandal, so there could be more to come.
Just on that point of a retired bishop, which Malone refers to himself as, yet the bulletin from the Vatican says it was a resignation, not a retirement, as Malone calls it. I mean, does that distinction matter at all when it comes to, you know, how they kind of live out the rest of their lives in the Catholic Church?
So it's essentially a distinction without a difference. If you look at the unprecedented nature of this, Bishop Malone is only the sixth American bishop, Catholic bishop, to ever resign in the wake of sex abuse scandals in his diocese. And keep in mind, there's over 400 current and retired U.S. bishops. So this does not happen very often. But of his five other counterparts who have resigned or been forced out, they have carried along the same path. They've been given full retirement benefits. Bishop Malone's mentor in Boston was now disgraced Cardinal Law. He was under such scrutiny in Boston. There was talk he would be brought up on criminal charges that he was escorted out of Boston and given a plum position in Rome. I think that the Vatican would not do anything like that, especially in this case, given the optics of that. But this is kind of the standard protocol in the Catholic Church. Many Catholics have reached out to me and said, gee, that doesn't make a lot of sense. If I get fired from my job or have to resign, you know, I don't get to just ride off into the sunset with a great pension. And, you know, they make a lot of good points, but that is the system as we currently have it.
Charlie, what do you know about Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, who's coming in from Albany, who's here and will be holding a news conference later this morning that you'll hear live on WBEN?
So Bishop Scharfenberger definitely, it seems to be, is cut from a different cloth, at least from his public appearances here, than Bishop Malone. He is very much, in fact, I remember getting some of Bishop Malone's internal emails last year where he refers to Bishop Scharfenberger, and he doesn't say anything negative about him, but it's clear that they don't come from the same mindset. See, at the time, there was the grand jury report in Pennsylvania, and there was the idea of bishop accountability in the U.S., that bishops needed to be held accountable. Bishop Scharfenberger was one of the few people who said, look, bishops cannot investigate bishops. That time is over. Whereas the other bishops were in New York State and in the nation were saying, why can't we investigate ourselves? So he very much seems to be more aware of, you know, kind of the people in the pews and what's on their minds and the sentiment now that's growing among the laity in the Catholic Church. He has called for understanding here and said he's going to be doing a lot of listening when he comes to Buffalo.
Yeah, we're going to be speaking with the Movement to Restore Trust a little bit later this morning. But from your perspective, people you've talked to within the church, everyday Catholics, how much damage has this done? How much will it take to repair this? And maybe even more so than just changing the bishop? Because I think back to something you mentioned and brought up too in this interview, him saying that the reports of his resignation, absolutely false. That, you know, tweets from other reporters were completely not true. And that was just a couple weeks ago. And as we're learning now, he did do exactly that. So, you know, kind of another lie, as you mentioned. How much will it take to repair that relationship between parishioners and the church when it comes to trust? Is it more than just Malone?
Absolutely it is. And the issues that continue to plague the Catholic Church we've seen through these scandals are rooted in trust and accountability. There are issues that are deeply rooted in the whole idea of sexuality. What is proper sexuality? The idea of priests, should they or should they not be allowed to get married? Should women be allowed or not be allowed to be priests? These issues will continue to be controversial no matter what side you sort of stand on here, and will continue to be brought into the national news coverage of this. But talking with Catholics in Buffalo, while they continue to wrestle with those issues, you know, all politics is local here, essentially. People go to their own church, and that is how they experience their faith. That is how they experience God. So the idea that they no longer have this sort of blockage, in a way, this horrible situation in their own diocese, that even locally here, we could start over and start fresh, I think will give a lot of Catholics a lot of hope. I think this is still a very, very Catholic town, and credit to the people who have managed to keep their faith through all this. I can say personally it's been very challenging, and you struggle at that. But I think that people say that they need their faith and they want to believe, and this gives them a new reason to kind of believe.
Charlie, we really appreciate the insight this morning, all your work over the last couple of years as well. Charlie Specht, investigative reporter at Channel 7.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.